So maybe we can finish up with this patient. This lady looks like she had a lot of different issues and multiple progressions. I wanted to ask you, though, about the last thing you put in this case, and it relates to another question I'm curious. We talk about agents that get approved and maybe are not home runs and whether to present it. Because this lady at one point got docetaxel ramucirumab. What was her situation when she got that? And I'm kind of curious, do you, we see more people using ramucirumab than necitumab, but I'm curious, again, what situations you use it. What happened with this lady?
Well, so she's 58, she's young. And when she progressed after she had had bevacizumab and pemetrexed, she developed brain metastases and worsening pleural vase disease with a lot of symptoms of chest pain that were very difficult to manage with pain medications. And she herself was eager to start chemotherapy again because she had noticed, she had remembered the improvement she had on chemotherapy the first time. So we talked about the next chemotherapy regimen, which would be docetaxel. And I discussed with her that we could add ramucirumab and to perhaps increase the response rates and get better symptom control. And that's exactly what we witnessed, that she felt better faster with that combination and tolerated very well for several cycles. They were not very long cycles. Eventually she progressed in the brain again. But I think I was impressed by her symptom control, that it was a fast recovery, less pain medication requirements.
Any tolerability issues with the Rami? Any hypertension,
No, not
proteinuria?
really. And she's young. She didn't have significant hypertension, no bleeding. There was really nothing.
Kevin, is that kind of the algorithm you've adapted? The younger patient wants everything done, you bring it up. Do you bring it up to everybody? Do you never bring it up? What do you think about the data with ramucirumab? How much of a risk-benefit profile? What do you think about it?
So the way I approach it, anybody who could get VEGF inhibitors, they get in the frontline setting. So very rarely I see patients who would potentially be eligible for ramucirumab.
So you wouldn't give it if they'd
I
had that?
don't, yeah, I usually don't. I think just like necitumab, but perhaps a little better than necitumab, the benefit is, in my opinion, clinically fairly marginal, not that impressive. And there are clear toxicities with VEGF inhibition. And as right now, these patients, once they progress on we go to immunotherapy, immune checkpoint inhibitors right away. Once they progress on immune checkpoint inhibitors in sites like the major academic centers, there are now a number of studies for patients who progressed on immune checkpoint inhibitors, and they get to go on those things most of the times. And or if their performance status is so poor that we go in a different direction. So I don't use that much ramucirumab.
I think the REVEL trial, I mean, they both showed a survival advantage. SQUIRE showed a survival advantage for necitumab, REVEL in the second line setting for ramucirumab. But in aggregate, the REVEL trial was a bit more impressive. Certainly, response rate was significantly higher, which we didn't see in the necitumab trial. PFS was substantially better, and survival was better. And had the immunotherapy era not intervened, this would have been our standard regimen, without question, I think. It still is in many quarters, but in the third line. Docetaxel has been relegated to third line or, in some cases, clinical irrelevance. But if I'm going to give docetaxel, I will certainly consider ramucirumab if the patient's up to it. And now that we are seeing an increasing percentage of patients, for better or for worse, who are getting pemetrexed, carboplatin, and pembrolizumab, they've not had exposure to an angiogenesis inhibitor in the front line. And this is the perfect setting to do that.
Do we have data on benefit of ramucirumab with prior Bev or without prior Bev?
The REVEL trial included that cohort. It was a very small percentage. I think it was about 5%. I don't think there was any substantive difference
But
in the
it's
benefit.
more just sort of gut thinking through it that's making you differentiated, Kevin?
Yeah, typically, the preclinical studies show that the adaptation of the tumor cells to VEGF inhibition is very quick. In other words, whatever impact you have is transient with VEGF inhibition. And now, coupled with toxicities and other issues, other options, it just becomes less attractive. But frankly, I have a feeling that the VEGF inhibitors may come back. And Corey gave a great scenario. Somebody who has never seen bevacizumab, who had got triplet therapy and not seen taxane, that may be the perfect option for those patients. I think it's a great point. The other thing is that there are now intriguing studies, not just in lung cancer, but in other cancers that are just early evidence showing that VEGF inhibitors may augment response to checkpoint inhibitors. And in fact, in various checkpoint inhibitor combination studies, I personally would rate this as the most promising one. Not just ramucirumab, I don't know data on ramucirumab with checkpoint inhibitors, whether the studies have been completed, but in general, VEGF inhibitors, small molecule VEGF inhibitors with checkpoint inhibitors have shown some promising activity in renal cell cancer. And we've seen some evidence anecdotally on a clinical trial on three patients back-to-back with impressive responses in patients who progressed on nivolumab and ended up getting nivolumab with VEGF TK inhibitors have now had a great response.
Which TK inhibitor?
This is in a dasatinib, not your classical VEGF inhibitor, dasatinib.
Wow, dasatinib.
And so I think it is.
Corey, there's always been this issue.
It's a multi-kinase inhibitor, I should say.
There's always been this issue. It seems like it's a long time since we talked about it, though, of, you know, why anti-angiogenic agents actually benefit patients as an increased delivery, chemo to tumor, or whatever. But more recently, I've heard more people talking about the immune effects of anti-angiogenics. What do we know about that?
Not all that much, but at least preclinically, there is some synergy. And now clinically, there is evidence. There is a recently completed phase 1, phase 2 trial of pembrolizumab with ramucirumab that showed safety and fairly high response rates. So there is now an ongoing prospective randomized phase 3 in the 50% or higher group looking at pembro alone or pembro plus ramucirumab. So I agree wholeheartedly with Govindan that we're going to sort of see a resurrection of angiogenesis inhibitors, not so much in service to chemo, but in service to IOs.
And they may actually have an effect on myeloid-derived suppressive cells. These are MDSCs that have actually immunosuppressive properties, and VEGF inhibition may have an activity and effect on macrophages. So I think there's a good science behind that.
The problem that we've had is there's no marker for benefit with angiogenesis inhibitors. We've looked repeatedly over the last 20 years, and unlike the more typical oncogenic-driven tumors where there are clear-cut biomarkers, there's absolutely none that has shown any consistent results.